Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 509, 57 degrees on this Wednesday, May 28th, 2025. So I did get a text message that the person identified for that Connecticut mall shooting was out on $25,000 bail. Gee, I wonder what for. Again, the judicial revolving door to for the win or the loss for us, for our individuals there. So the big, beautiful bill was passed by the House on partisan lines, and even some Republicans didn't vote for it, but it did pass. And it's moved over, and listen, there's a lot of rhetoric out there about it, and we've tried to clarify some of that that's out there, and it's funny how some of the protests that have been going on at congressional offices and in the media, you know, it talks about, you know, that the will surely result in, but then in the next paragraph it'll say, you know, the impact of the bill has not been determined as of yet. But, you know, politics have to be involved. So, you know, but senators, and actually Elon Musk came out today and said that he was not happy with the House's version of the Big Beautiful Bill. It said he said that he doesn't believe it did DOGE its true justice. But senators, where it's headed now or where it is now, have some worries about spending, debt increases in the Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. There are some offsets, though. Republican behemoth budget reconciliation bill still faces major hurdles after it passed the U.S. House last week, with multiple senators raising concerns about the legislation's cost. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act, as currently form, hikes the debt ceiling by $4 trillion and funds large swaths of Trump's tax, border, energy, and defense agenda, including codifying President Donald Trump's 2017 tax cuts. Now, listen, these tax cuts, regardless of what you heard, are good for the middle class. People making between $30,000 and $80,000 benefit the most from those tax cuts. So when they say he's giving his billionaire friends and everything else, you know, the tax breaks, are there corporate tax breaks in there? Yes, there are. But we're going to get into that in a second. The legislation itself consists of 11 separate House committee prints that collectively fulfill April's budget resolution 10-year spending and saving instructions. The blueprint allowed the House committees to budget $4.5 trillion in lost revenue over the next decade, provided they also find $2 trillion in cuts and assume $2.6 trillion in economic growth. So that's how it's offsetting the $4.5 trillion in added debt. Now, the House committee has already found $1.5 trillion in cuts. The bill authorizes $4 trillion in spending. And you have to realize that it did garner just enough to advance the bill. The delicate balance may not survive if Senate leaders make the controversial changes they want, such as raising the debt ceiling to $5 trillion and undoing the House's Inflation Reduction Act funding clawbacks. So the Senate actually wants to add more debt. But based on the offsets that they're expecting, that's a no deal for the House. So where's the middle ground? Senator Rand Paul said he's a no on the bill until everyone in Washington gets serious about paying down our national debt, which is set to surpass $37 trillion in 2025. The Senate's purported plans will likely skyrocket cost of the already expensive bill due to budget blueprints allowing Senate committees to spend $1.7 trillion on their own policy wishes. So the Senate, their wish list, you know, their money they like to bring back to their places, is already sitting on $1.5 trillion. Now, we know that that's not possible. Hopefully, they know that that's not possible. While White House committees operate under the current law baseline, which assumes that the extending the tax cut will result in trillions of lost federal revenue, hence their work to find $1.5 trillion in cuts, the Senate decided to adopt a current policy baseline while calculating their cost. The controversial accounting tactic, which critics call a gimmick, treats the tax cut extension as continuous of current law rather than new policy, theoretically zeroing out the cost of permanently codifying the Trump tax cuts. Now, these tax cuts have been in place since 2017. They were always meant to be permanently renewed. So the method the Senate is using is not wrong. They're making the permanent codifying of the 2017 tax cuts new legislation, new cost. Now, I posted a little breakdown of what the CBO said earlier in 2017 that it would cost us and what it actually did. In 2017, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the TCJA, the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, the Joint Committee on Taxation, the JCT, estimated that the 2017 tax cuts would reduce federal revenues by approximately $1.5 trillion to $1.9 trillion over the life, 2018 to 2028, 10-year period. Depending on the methodology, conventional versus dynamic scoring, which accounts for economic growth. So the Congressional Budget Office said those tax cuts, the nation would take in $1.5 to $1.9 trillion less in revenue. So that was the estimate from the Congressional Budget Office. What actually happened, though, is the nominal federal tax revenues increased after the 2017 tax cuts, reaching $4.9 trillion in 2022, including $425 billion in corporate taxes, which was 43% higher than when the 2017 tax cuts was passed, and $72 billion above the CBO projections for 2022. So basically, the reduction in revenue that the Congressional Budget Office said would happen didn't happen. Quite the opposite happened. We took in more revenue, 43% higher revenue, and brought in $72 billion above the projections from the CBO. Studies such as the one by economists from Harvard, Princeton, and Chicago, Booth, found that the Trump 2017 tax cuts increased corporate investment by 10 to 20% and wages by about $750 per worker per year increase. Now, that was 2017. So that's what they're basing, what they saw in real life between 2017 and 2022. Now, obviously, COVID happened in 2020 and started to downturn, and then we had to spend trillions of dollars more in debt, so it kind of threw the whole thing out of whack. The budget reconciliation process bypasses the Senate filibuster. The upper chamber could pass the final package by a simple majority vote in the Senate. But if just two more senators join Rand and Johnson in voting against the mega bill, the entire policy could be at jeopardy. So that's what's happening in the Senate. But when they talk about these cuts, they were going to increase spending and they were looking for cuts. $1.5 trillion in cuts. Based on the increase in revenue after 2017, based on the same tax plan, we increased revenue. So they're saying that that money's going to be there. Again, we'll have to see. But we do have historical perspective to show that it was working between 2017 and 2022. And then obviously, the tax cuts remained, but they were set to expire at the end of 2025. Now they're being made permanently in this bill. Now, I've already broken down what that entails for people like you or I, middle-class Americans. Now, obviously, there are incentives for business, which is why corporate investment rose 10 or 20%. It was a friendly environment for business. They started to invest. They started to put roots down, like we're seeing here now. you add the billions upon billions of dollars of international investment that's being brought here and the tariffs that are increasing investment in manufacturing here, there is the perfect storm for success. But you're going to have your scare tactics. You're going to have people crying about Medicaid. It's trying to scare you about Medicaid. Let me ask you, everything that they've said till today, now they started about Medicaid right after the election, before they even took office. But it was about veterans' benefits, right? They were cutting care for veterans. They were laying off nurses and doctors at the VA. Never happened. Never happened. The governor of Pennsylvania came on this station and said that they were laying off masses of nurses at the VA, and Pennsylvania would welcome to hire them, and we're even going to fast-track you hiring, making him seem like the good guy. He lied to you. Later that day, I had a statement from the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Not a single nurse doing nursing duties was laid off. Even that, their line item is exempt from any of the hiring freezes. You don't hear much about Social Security, right? That's the next lie coming up. But now it's Medicaid, and that's what they're screaming and crying about. But yet they have no details. Who's getting their Medicaid taken away? If you think not proving that you're eligible for Medicaid instead of once per year is twice per year is too burdensome, well, then I'm sorry. You know what's burdensome? The tax debt that's on each and every one of us paying taxes. That's burdensome too. So no, I don't feel sorry that you have to prove twice a year. Because if you can prove in January, you could prove in July that you're eligible for Medicaid. And you should keep it if you're eligible. If you're an illegal immigrant, I'm sorry. States should not be doing a shell game with federal Medicaid funds where they take it into Medicaid and then they ended up buying independent insurance for illegal immigrants to cover them. It's a shell game. Pennsylvania's one of the states doing it, like California and a few others. That's being put to a stop. So when the Pennsylvania governor comes on and says they're taking money away from Medicaid, no, they're taking money away that Pennsylvania is using for illegal immigrants for Medicare, for health care. They're taking Medicaid funds, they're shuffling them, and buying independent health care for illegal immigrants. If you were under the expansion for COVID, where basically everybody qualified for health care because COVID was involved, well, COVID's not here anymore. So you no longer qualify. That was a temporary program because of a state of emergency, because of a world pandemic, right? That's what we keep being told. Well, that program no longer exists. So if you benefited from it, I'm sorry, it's time to move on. And if you do qualify, if you're on that bubble, shouldn't you be able to get the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare it's otherwise called? Isn't that the whole purpose of it? So there are health care options for you. Some of them being at no cost, depending on your income. So if you do not qualify anymore because they're canceling the COVID expansion for Medicaid, well, then there's the Affordable Care Act for you. Yes, it might be a pain in the neck navigating it, but there are people out there to help you do that. People getting Medicaid in two different states happens all the time. Matter of fact, they identified over 1 million people. People who are on the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid. Yep, shouldn't happen. So when they start scaring you about Medicaid, ask them specifics. Who specifically in Pennsylvania? Who specifically is being cut? Where is it being cut? What funds aren't the state getting anymore and why? No one wants to ask the questions. They just want to use it as fear factor because of an election. And if you look at everyone that was involved in these protests, everyone who's paying for the commercials on this station and stations all around the nation, they all go back to a political party. And you got to ask yourself why. Why is a party with no leader, no message, no platform so worried about what they gave up? Control. And that's all it's what it's about.